Forever! Dog!
Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see. Wow.
My, oh my.
Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas!
Please welcome to the stage Las Culturistas, Bowen Yang, and special guest host Joel Kim Booster.
Oh my goodness.
Hello.
Keep it going for Brian with that incredible.
Give it up.
Did you hear the little? He gave it a little spice.
Mm.
He gave
a little rolled R.
Yeah,
exactly. A little bit of a rolled R. Well, first of all, we should say ding dong.
Las Culturistas calling. I know.
Listen,
I'm a guest in your house and I didn't even do it correctly top. I ruined it.
I didn't give you the tour of the house.
That's true. It's partially your fault. How are we doing, everybody? Are we good?
How's it going?
Oh, my God. Bone and I truly, literally moments ago stepped out of the movie theater. Mm-hmm. We just saw Avengers Endgame.
Avengers. Wow. I mean, I cried three times.
I cried several times. Now, you guys don't care if we spoil the whole thing, right? From top to bottom, we're going to spoil the whole thing. You see Chris Evans' full asshole. You see everything. So now you guys want to go.
Now you guys want to go. And then you do see Thanos' taint. And that's actually like a nice like kind of like smash cut that they do.
Yeah, and it's sort of beautiful because Josh Brolin went in there and mm-hmm. he did the whole green, they put the little balls on his own
taint.
You know, those little white balls
yes.
where they motion capture. And it's actually Josh Brolin's motion capture taint.
Yes.
On it.
And this is a little Easter egg. You know that little ridge on a scrotum?
The frenulum, I think it's called?
Is that... Oh, there's a name for that?
I thought so.
For a while, I thought I was...
Any doctors, any experts know?
Any anatomy experts?
What is it called? Oh, wait. What is the frenulum, then? Oh, that's right. It's on my penis.
It's on your penis.
It's on my penis.
But I thought for the longest time I was the only person in the world who had...
A ridge?
The line, like, down the axis of your testicles.
Got it.
Do you know what I'm talking
about?
Oh,
like the seam.
The seam.
The seam.
Thank you.
It's where God sewed your sack. He said, oh, we got one, we got two, and then...
I thought it was scarring. I thought I bled as it... When I came out the womb or something, and like a sneaky doctor sutured my ball sack back together.
Yeah. And in a way, anybody. God is our doctor.
Yes.
Our first doctor.
Ooh, and in a way, if you have a phallus, if you have a scrotum, that is God sewing it onto you, suturing it onto you. I don't know where I'm going with
I
this.
Don't know either, Bowen, but
oh my God.
It's your show, and I thought I'd let you talk. It's so great to be back here. I have to say, about half of you don't give a shit about the Marvel movies, but I was truly moved. I thought it was incredible. I think on the first time I ever appeared on this show, I talked about how comic books were very formative
yes.
for me growing up. I owned thousands of them. I spent my entire life reading them. And this was the closest experience, I think, to reading an actual comic book
wow.
after years, because I'm like a real continuity nerd, and the fact that they've been doing this for 10 years mm-hmm. is insane.
Truly.
And it's actually now that I'm talking about it, I'm scared. I am, because the fact is the only reason they were able to do this is because Disney owns everything.
Right.
yes, someone just gasped. And it's like, I'm so thankful that we have these movies, and now I want Elizabeth Warren to come in and break them up! Break Disney up!
Yes!
No monopolies!
Free public college and break up the MCU.
I'm gonna fuck up this statistic, but Google it. But like Disney now owns like, what is it? Like 70% of the box office? It's something truly insane. It's more than half the box office for sure. And that's scary, I think. That should be scary to us as a community of artists. And I think, you know, no matter, as much as I'm so glad that they could get Natalie Portman in for a day shoot to mm-hmm. reprise her role in this film, it's like, it's not worth it, you
no.
know?
Yeah.
It's not worth where we're headed. I think it's bad. I think it's really bad.
There was one little flourish of like, of gay sort of tittering of like, oh my God, it's Natalie Portman. And then it fully subsided
within
a second. Didn't care. Didn't care.
Anytime
anymore.
She comes on screen though, it is like a shot, like an mm-hmm. adrenaline shot. I'm like, give her an Oscar.
I didn't see Jackie. Now, did she deserve the Oscar?
She did deserve the Oscar for Jackie.
Over
Justice
Emma?
For Jackie. I am one of those people who is a Justice for Jackie's truther. I can't wait until we're like in our 90s and we get to see Chasen.
Who would play Chasen?
Well, we don't know who it's going to be yet.
I think it'll be like Lucas Hedges.
Oh yeah. No, because I found out Chasen is 29.
You were going to say 92.
92.
29, and it shows. It shows.
I thought he was much older.
No, to me, like, his soul is zygotic. Oh, it's like 12. Yeah. He's 12 years old inside.
Listen, I don't want to get too much into politics because that's not what this is about, but we cannot have a Disney gay in the White House. We can't have it. And I know that I'm speaking in Matt's house right now.
We like, can't
truly,
have a Disney
like,
gay.
Like pissing on his altar right now, but it is just like we can't have it. We can't have someone who identifies as a Hufflepuff in the White House.
That's it.
Just can't let that.
Can't
happen.
Have a Charlotte in the White House.
No, can't have a Charlotte in the White House.
No.
The equivalent. Thing. Wait, so what do you think of Austin, Bowen?
I love Austin. Austin's great. Someone's waving their hands. Austin's wonderful. I do want to talk about this man who we saw yesterday at Rain on 4th.
Oh my God.
So there was
anybody heard of Rain on 4th and
Gay Club? It's wonderful.
Okay, you're feeling a lot more enthusiasm for it than I did.
It was lovely. There was a stripping competition where anyone could sign up and strip, but the hosts were a drag queen named Sable, who was wonderful, and then like the club promoter, I guess, and he kept doing the hook 'em horns, like kept doing this when he was bringing people up.
First of all, we should know, just to paint the picture for you a little bit, he had a face mic, like a Britney Spears face mic, and everyone else was using hand mics, and it was so strange. I like the whole, it like really posed a question that was never answered, which was why?
Why?
You know?
wasn't holding anything else with
no,
his other
he
hand,
wasn't.
His hand.
There was truly, he didn't need his hands free except to do the horns.
Is this hook 'em horns?
Yeah,
he kept doing this.
And it was unlike, it was an archetype I had never seen in a gay bar hosting a show before. It's something I think only could exist in Texas. It was so strange.
It was so strange.
But shout out to Brad, who won, who is a fan
Brad.
Of this podcast.
Yeah,
right?
Brad won. He deserved the win.
And then as soon he came up to us before he went on and he was like, hey, I'm a big fan. And then he went on and won. And then we tried to say hi to him afterwards and he won and he ignored us. And we're like, oh, you win one amateur strip contest and now you think you're bigger than us, Brad?
You're better than a podcast host? How dare you?
Austin is great. I love, this is the second time I've been to Austin, but the first time I've been not during South By, and so therefore feel like this is the first time I've been in Austin, because that is a Bobo sort of sideways reality, Austin, and I didn't appreciate it at all. Yeah. But you guys seem chill.
Yes. What are the big differences that you're clocking?
Well, I would just say, like, because the problem with South By as a comedian is they plan the comedy week the same week as
the,
like,
innovators,
which is like all of the tech bros, and like they're just like constantly like trying to sell you on VR or give you like a little cube of gum that's like, this is 5 coffees and 1 piece of gum, and it's like, nobody asked, you know, like, what problem are you solving with this? This is not gonna take off. Like, it's just crazy. Like, every street corner during that week felt like a fucking mini Shark Tank, because everyone is just trying to sell you on some new product that they've brought to the fucking festival, and it's so obnoxious. The streets are closed down. Everyone is like, there's like new hats that are created every year at the festival, I feel like, that then germinate across the country. It's bad. It's bad. Everyone looks like a Heim sister. It's not fun.
Wow. Okay, yeah, that sounds miserable.
That sounds rough. But this has been great so far. I did last night open for Nicole.
Right.
And there was a man. I love that Nicole is now, at least in this circle,
a one name.
A one name. You don't know which Nicole I was talking about. Opened for Nicole Richie last night. She's doing comedy now. And there was a man in the front row who may have been gay, may have been attractive, may have been British, and may have been into me. And I said as much on my Instagram story, and within 3 minutes he messaged and said, that was me. Yes, thank you.
Yes. Wait, what? What did they say?
No, they just said yes.
Oh, yes.
They like literally involuntarily were like, yes! And that's exactly how I felt. And we DM'd the whole night through.
What's the plan? What's the plan?
The whole plan is a loose hangout.
Yeah, it'll be loose eventually.
How dare you? In front of a live studio audience. No, he is. He's on a tour of the worst places in America. Now wait,
wait. Here.
This was a detour because he wanted to see me and Nicole perform. He was in a place called Beaumont before. I knew what I was doing the whole time. But no, yeah, he's been traveling like the quote unquote, like, he's like, I love a sad strip mall or a casino. And so he's been going to cities with that. And I called him a cultural masochist. And then he's now, this is where they're ending the trip.
Oh, that's nice. This is a good special.
Yeah, with Austin. And he likes it.
Right. That worries me. That's a red flag that he's ironically going to these places. Because it's like when you want to like, it's like when you get your friends together, you're like, let's go to Chili's. Let's go to Applebee's. Wouldn't that be so funny? And it never, ever is as funny as you think it is.
No, it never. It actually, I am that person. In fact, I feel like I forced you to go. Wait, every time we've seen a Star Wars movie, I forced you. What's that restaurant that we...
Outback.
Outback Steakhouse.
Do people know, people who've been to Denver know what Casa Bonita is?
Oh, yeah.
I told Joe to go to Casa Bonita when he was in Denver as a joke, because it's like a joke. It's Mexican Disneyland. That's what they call it. And then you went and you hated it. You didn't understand. You didn't understand what was worthwhile about suffering through it, right?
No, I didn't understand it at all.
Yeah.
And wait.
Oh, then we're not going to talk about it. We're going to cut this out.
No. You can talk about it.
Hi.
No. Stop it.
Stop.
I don't like this side of you, that you like the attention.
No. This is our house.
We got it. We'll move on. But I did want to talk a little bit more.
I want to talk a little bit more
about these restaurants. Because, wait, I do make you go to Outback. And it's been awful every single time. I made a lot of people go to the Olive Garden in Times Square. Always
never worthwhile.
I made Anna Dresden go with me to a Texas Roadhouse in Baltimore that made me so sick. I was sick for 3 months and lost 7 pounds. So thank you.
Your state.
I mean, it was a Texas Roadhouse in Baltimore, and I did get fish. So I feel like in many ways that is my own fault.
Sure. Yeah. Well, you lost 7 pounds. Okay, but yeah, well, that sounds crazy that you're going to all these places, but at least you're here.
I didn't send him any gross pictures, and I was going to talk about how proud of it I was of myself for that.
Great.
And I was going to say a lot of other like wonderful things about how your book sounded. Now you don't get any of that because you showed up.
You get that in private. Yeah. Okay, what else? We haven't seen each other in a while.
I know. Actually, that's false. We saw each other last weekend.
Yes, we did. We did.
But a week apart from you is a long time.
Ooh.
I couldn't even get through the sentence convincingly. No,
but it feels like you and I are the ones who pick up right where we leave off.
It's true. I saw him triumphantly after. Did you guys see the actress on SNL, the digital short with Emma Stone? Bowen Yang Rich. Talk about that. Talk about Emma a little bit.
Emma.
I think people want to know while it's fresh in your mind.
Emma's wonderful.
We forgive her. We heard the apology at the Golden Globes and we said, yes, we hear you and we accept.
This was the platform we needed from you. Off camera, screaming on mic. No, she was great. She was so, so, so wonderful the entire time. Our guest worked with her as well. Yeah. He can tell us more about her later. I think she's great. There were multiple times... She literally was like, she came up to me and Julio, who wrote it with me. She goes, okay, so do you guys want me to cry in this? We were like, oh, yeah. like, for this take, yeah, cry. She goes, okay. And then they're about to call action. And she goes, sorry. I just need a couple minutes. Was so nice about it. Was not like, wait. She was just like, actually, I need like one more second. And she's just like pacing. And then she does the take and it's perfect. And her eyes are welling up and she's fully giving you that performance. And then...
Meisner.
Uh-huh. And then afterwards she comes up to me and I was like, oh, I made some offhand remark about menthol sticks. I was like, you don't need a menthol stick. And she goes, my memories are my menthol stick. very jokingly. Like she was
okay, thank God. Yeah, so she wasn't being serious.
No.
If it's a self-aware joke, then that's funny.
She
if
was
it's
very
not,
self-aware
then
about
she's
it.
A monster.
No. But I was like, what have you been through? That's wild.
She grew up in Arizona. I feel like that's enough, you know? It's the worst place in
America. Worst place in the world.
I will say, in college, they taught us in your freshman year of theater school, where I went acting school, one of the things that you had to do in order to move on was cry.
That's insane.
But the method that they taught us is very actually like sort of. I think it's a way everybody can do it. I'll teach you guys now how to cry, which is they just teach you
fast breathing.
To get here, and then you just pick a vowel in a lining. Ah!
It works!
Yeah, everyone who's listening at home, I absolutely cried. No, it was the dumbest and most humiliating experience. Everyone had to do the Emily monologue from Our Town at the end of our second acting class and had to cry in that monologue and had to not only cry, but they didn't want you to, because there is always a girl whose memories are their menthol sticks.
Okay? There's always
a girl like that. And yeah. God bless them. We need them. We need our Emma Stones. But they were like, no, it's cheating. We want to see the work of like truly making yourself puke to cry and like trick your body. Because like our teachers were like, this is the physical response that your body does when it cries. And so it's reverse engineering. If you're heaving like that and breathing, then your body will be like, oh, we should be crying and start crying. And it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. Fully doesn't work. But basically every time I would like, she did all these takes, and every time we would turn to each other and be like, she's incredible. And thought, not that I ever disputed it before, but I was like, she absolutely deserved that Oscar over Natalie and Jackie.
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think so. Actually, I think Emma is like Sandra Bullock, someone who deserves the Oscar, but not for the role.
Oh, she deserved it for The Favorite.
Yeah, she deserved it for The Favorite, and we knew. And Sandra deserved it for Gravity, and we didn't know.
And we did not know.
And in fact, the Academy always knows, okay? So trust the Academy. Yes, we were mad at Blindside, but we didn't know, you know? and they did, and that's what's important. Put your trust in the Academy.
Yes.
Above the Academy, unerring
the Academy. Yeah. Ooh, baby. Okay, what else? I think it's time to bring in our guest.
Do we have to?
I think we have to.
I'm kidding. I love him. Wait, before we bring him, I wanted to say yesterday, because we're about just to get into it, before we get into his credits.
Yes.
I have to say this man is such a fucking renaissance man and is so good. It's actually unfair that he's good at everything. Yes. I think of him as a prolific stand-up comedian. Mm-hmm. We recorded our half hours together in the same chunk in New Orleans. And so in my mind, he's always been this stand-up. And so yesterday we were chatting and I was like, oh, do you know Bowen? Have you ever met Bowen? and he was like, yeah, you fucking idiot. We're coworkers.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's right. You're also on the biggest fucking show in comedy right
now. He's also been in like a comedic milestone of a movie that has recently
had a resurgence on Twitter. Thank God
we should
for
talk
it.
To him about
that is Meet Joe Black, of course.
Meet
so we're
Joe
talking
Black.
About
the scene where Brad Pitt gets
Chris
hit by
Red is in Meet Joe car. Black.
Yeah.
no, pop star. He was in Pop Star. He, like I said, he's on SNL. He recorded a Comedy Central half hour, I think. And this is sort of the mythology of his career, by the way. We'll ask him if this is true or not. I believe he's the first person in history to ever put Saturday Night Live in second position, which is industry speak for if you have two jobs, one of them is like the second choice. and I believe that Chuck Lorre, and this is all the mythology.
Come on.
So all of it,
it's Chuck Lorre and Chris Redfoot.
Chuck Lorre and Lauren Michaels had a phone conversation where they fought over him. So two of the most powerful white
men this is real?
In the industry. Yeah, because of Disjointed, his Netflix sitcom that he's also a star of. And somehow he's the nicest person
Prince Angel of a
in this industry. He is a titan. He is a king. Please give it up for Chris Redd!
Fuck everybody in here.
Now you can speak on the validity of any of those statements, or you can choose to remain silent and let the mythology sort of germinate and spread and become
even. Trying to see what's the most powerful position to take. that was a very stressful situation.
I didn't know about this. It was
some back and forth because I was on a show.
Yes.
But Lauren called me. He was like, "You want the job?" And I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "Well, don't worry about the other thing." I'm like, "What?" And when white men say that to you, you're like, "Oh, shit's about to happen." Yeah. You know,
and shit happened.
I mean, those two men though are. Two of the most
amazing.
Powerful men
I love
the
Chuck.
Industry right now.
Yeah, I fuck with Chuck heavy. I fuck with Lauren. So, I mean, it ended up working out. But I was stressed out for 3 weeks.
I want to write a play about that phone conversation.
Yes.
Truly, it's going to be my Frost Nixon.
Oh, my God, right.
It's Chuck Lorre and Lauren Michaels fighting over Chris Redd.
By the way, that was the most accurate piece of information that someone has said that I didn't... directly tell them. You know what I mean? Like I was like, oh shit, he knows my secrets. God damn.
I know it all, bitch. Because your career, Chris, this is another like industry, like sort of insidery thing, is you were announced as a cast member on SNL when you weren't
the
in
the season
a cast
before.
Yeah, the season before, when Mikey moved up. And Alex got hired, and Melissa got hired. There was an article from a blogger who will remain nameless, only because I don't want to give him no clout.
Yeah, no.
He's a bitch, though. he know it. But he, like, released this. So, basically, I was, like, leaving 30 Rock onto the plane to go back to L.A. to keep filming Disjointed. And while I'm sitting on a plane next to Melissa... this dude puts out a blog that says I got the job. And I've gotten jobs before. That's not how it works. Yeah. You don't find out on Facebook when your friends are sharing. You usually get a call beforehand. And so I was like, what? What is happening? So I'm texting my people, and they're like, no, we haven't got a call. So it's just like shit. And all of Chicago comedy is going crazy.
Yeah.
Like Chicago in general, like it's blowing up. We're taking off. I'm sitting next to Melissa. She's not involved in this article. It's only about me and Mikey Day. And so I'm like, hey, how's your day going? And, you know, I'm trying not to say nothing to her, and knowing that she's seeing this, and I'm just sitting there awkward as shit. I'm like, and then they didn't have any internet. On that flight, I was losing my fucking mind, bro. And so then by the time I landed, it had went viral in our world. And I called my people and I was like, yo, what the fuck is going on? And they were like, I think it's just a mistake. I think you still have a good shot. But you know, like Lauren's very touchy about shit like that. And I don't know why it didn't happen the way it happened, but it ended up that Melissa got the job. And of course, I mean, y'all saw how it fucking played out, but I didn't. And so that was crazy because I couldn't like tell everybody like, hey, y'all, I don't have it because that's not how it works. Because if you ever address it, then it hurts your chances of getting the
show.
Right,
right, right.
So you just got to leave it alone. And so I'm just sitting there just watching people think I have this job. And then the season started. Like, what episode you gonna be on? I'm like, I'm not, nigga. You ain't see me in the opening credits, did you?
God,
that is a nightmare.
Was
that always the goal for you? Was that like the job for you for a long time?
I like sketch, so I like doing sketch is I like in living color. Like SNL was dope, but it was also like there was just. More black people on other shows.
Yeah.
But I did love Chris and Eddie in it. So it wasn't something I thought I wanted, especially coming up in Chicago, comedy in like Second City, they like shove down your throat. Like, if you don't go to SNL, you won't be shit. And so I'm a rebel by nature. So I was like, fuck that. But then when he offered the job, I was like, yes, please.
When you get the call, yeah, you gotta answer.
Yeah. I mean, even at the audition, walking through the halls, I'm like, I guess I would kind of want this. Like, this would be dope. I'm not done with sketch. So I would love to like be here and like figure out what it is.
Right.
You know, at least figure out if I'm good at the show. Because you gotta be, you know how it is. You gotta be like decent at it.
Right. Well, the thing about the building is it is this thing where you walk the hallways and you look around and there's photos of all this shit and you're like, oh, okay, I guess this is an important place. And this is not like commenting on like for better or for worse, like what it is. This is just what it is you're in that building and it's a constant reminder of what the show is to people.
It's amazing because you have your ups and downs and it does become like just a work place, like just like any other place that anybody in here will work at. But then every week I have a moment where I'm like, oh nigga, where are you? This is fucking dope. You know what I mean? Like, so as long as I'm still feeling that, I think I'll be good.
I have never had an interest in sketch. I took two UCB sketch classes, one of which where I wrote a sketch where a man fucks a bird.
That's dope.
That's the only sketch I have ever written and have no ability to do like sketch acting either. Like, but when I was visiting you at work, when I was there to see the show, just like even I was like, oh my God. Like, it is like such a weird, like it's a tangible energy in the air of you're like, this is, there's so much history, like comedy history attached to this place that it's intoxicating.
Oh!
Oh, intoxicate.
Joel, you wrote a sketch once, and I think it was you and Aaron Jackson just writing it within 20 minutes. It was a gay PSA about things that straight people can't say anymore.
Yeah.
Ooh. But it was just like, it was a full-on joke. It was just like, straight people can't eat grapes anymore. I ain't told her to a grape at a gay man.
Oh, I've been fucking up, bro.
We knew we were successful.
I love grapes.
Well, I'm gonna fully drag her because what either of us have to lose. But this was supposed to be a Funny or Die sketch with Lena Dunham in which she canceled three times.
And
she somehow had the flu every time. But the weird thing with her is I kind of believe that she could have gotten the flu three times in 1 year. Like that just seems like something that is possible for her life. But then we were like, it was like sort of like we couldn't do push the shoot again, or we were there. Everyone was there. The crew was there. And so they were like, do you want to just shoot something else? And it was me and Aaron. We're like, yeah, I guess we will. And so we just sort of wrote with Langan Kingsley and improvised this thing about like gay appropriation, like appropriating gay culture. And we knew we were successful because if you go and look at the YouTube comments for it, it has pissed off literally everyone on the left and everyone on the right. No one knows who it's supposed to be making fun of.
It is
100% nonsense. And it truly, I watched it sometimes and I'm like, what is the POV here?
But the POV is unity, man.
It's like just like, there are weird jokes in it that truly, looking back, I was like, are we high? Because Aaron's maybe like a full foot taller than me.
Yes.
But I said, I was like, on the day of shooting, it's just us standing in front of a green screen. And I was like, I should stand on an apple box so that it looks like I'm the same height as Aaron. And they were like, sure. And they're like, who's that funny for? And I was like, people who know that Aaron's taller than me.
Who's that funny for is the best question I've ever heard in my life. Like,
who is that funny for?
If I get heckled, I want that to be my heckle of a new joke. I'm like, I'm trying a new joke. Like, hey, who's that funny for? You're like, you right, sir. You damn right.
Yeah.
That's fucking great.
What a beautiful philosophical guide.
I know you've been asked this before, but what started first, stand-up or sketch for you?
I started at the same time. I was better at improv and sketch first because stand-up is harder for what I was trying to do with it.
That's right. You suck on that.
Yeah, we come from, heck, Chicago's such a, like, you either do improv or you do stand-up, but you don't do both, brother. Yeah. Like especially on the South Side. And, like, this, people told me not to do that. And they said, like, oh, you fucking yourself up. And then when I started getting jobs, they were like, hey, what class did you take? So I'm a pioneer is what that story is about.
You really bridge the gap. You are sort of the baby that was birthed out of both communities and were held up. And they were like, we are joined now.
Yeah, they kept picking me up. I was grown at the time. I don't know why they kept doing that. Don't Simba a grown man. That's stupid. Simba me, man.
I feel like people should just do one.
No, I'm kidding. I can say with confidence, there are only 10 people in my mind, Chris being chief among them, who I think of as being truly great.
Full triple threat sketch improv.
Thank you for that. I mean, I'm always constantly thinking something slack and always trying to like make sure I'm keeping up with all of it. And I also do think that if you're going to do them all, you have to go hard at it. And you have to be, if you're not tired, you're slacking somewhere. Because you're holding up three careers at one time. You know,
My God, the gig economy, am I right?
The millennial condition.
I'm so tired. Somebody do my laundry.
I still think about that fucking article in BuzzFeed.
Yo, I think about that article so
much. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, where they were like, this is why you're not lazy. You have a condition.
Yes, you've inherited a trauma from the last generation that promised you a false thing.
Yeah, and now every time you want to do your dishes, you're like, but what about Earth dying?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you just don't do your dishes. But the Earth's still dying though, bro. What are we to do?
The thing, like, that article ended on, there is no answer.
Yeah, it's like, I've never seen a more grim article than, like, yeah, all this shit, and also, nothing you can do to fix it. I'm like, all right, thanks, man. Who wrote that article?
Is this, like, sociologist? This...
For BuzzFeed?
Yeah.
A BuzzFeed sociologist? They probably keep him in a basement. Like, go ahead, Eric. It's your time.
Unchain her. Let her speak.
I have thoughts.
Eric, the female sociologist. Let her do it.
Yeah.
Don't make assumptions.
Gender's a construct. I don't know. But then the thing is also like, but as long as you have an awareness of the parameters, then that helps. But I don't think that's true. I don't know if that's true. Because now I'm just lazier.
Yeah, I feel like you gave me a reason to give myself a reason not to do the dishes scientifically.
Yeah.
So now I'm just like, dog, my crib looks crazy. No, I'm saying.
That's why it's insane to me that people in our generation are having kids, though.
Like,
there's like half of us can't do the fucking dishes, and the other half are like, yeah, let's make another one. And it's just crazy to me. I'm so glad that I have no inkling to have children. I also feel very nihilistic about the future of this planet, and I want to die by 60. I'm so mad that I quit smoking. I really am. Because smoking is the coolest thing you can do. It is.
It looks so cool.
Yeah. I would give up two pinkies to be able to smoke again and not have it like truly like make me feel awful on the inside out. And I would look like a freak to be able to smoke, because I think smoking would even it out. I wouldn't have pinkies, but I have a cigarette in my hand.
I wouldn't give up my pinkies. I couldn't give up my pinkies, bro. I can't smoke because like I'm like scarred from my uncle. He passed like when I was like young, but he's my favorite uncle. But then he got like throat cancer, right? And he's had that little thing in his neck. And so he was a hood dude. So he used to fuck with us all the time. He's like, you should never smoke. You know why? And then like shit would spill out of his neck. Yeah, and then he would like smoke out of the hole. Like, you want to be me? And I'm like,
And again, he looked so cool doing it.
He looked cool as shit, man. He had gold rims on his wheelchair. Yeah. It was crazy.
Listen, I want you to live. I also feel like I'm with Matt. Like, you should stop smoking, Bowen. Yeah, but also,
you still
maybe
smoke?
Don't. Like,
every now and then.
He's an every now and again. I can't take that leap. Otherwise, I would go full tilt. I was just a pack a day for like a couple years.
Yeah, I got some friends who are like, I'm gonna quit after this pack. Man, you've been saying that for 13 years.
Just
fam.
Let them do it. There's nothing to live for.
I don't smoke shame anybody. You know, I just don't do it myself. I mean, I smoke weed for sure. And some of it looks like cigarettes because the packaging is getting crazy with me now. For real, like someone was like, "Oh, can I get a square?" I'm like, "No, this is a funny square, fam." I call it funny like an old person. Is that a funny cigarette?
Funny cig.
Give me a light and a funny cigarette.
I love that your eyes lit up around the packaging of weed.
I love the weed technology where it's at now. I really do. Like, I like the edibles. The edibles are amazing. I had a fruit by the foot that was so fucking crazy. Oh. Yeah, it was so... I got too high just because of how delicious it was. And I'm like, you got to eat the whole foot, my guy.
Wow.
And then I couldn't sit down the whole plane ride. I was tripping my ass up.
Those, yeah, I've had the, I usually will do one of those. I call it Molly in a pinch. Like, if you can't get your hand, if you can't get your hand on Molly, just take a really powerful edible and an Adderall. And it's the same thing. Oh. It really is. It's the same thing without the come down. It's amazing.
You're right. Yo, I tried to take an Adderall when I was high because I was on a flight. I was like, I'm going to get some work done.
Yeah.
But I had decided to get some work done after I was already high as fuck. No. So I was like, take some Adderall. You'll be good. No. And you'll be focused. And what it ended up making me do is focus on how high I was. And I was like, yo, you are so high right now. And that's all I did the whole flight. It was 4 hours of just standing there. Not even standing on a plane. And there was, I had a seat. I was just standing. It was so dumb.
Adderall is the same molecule as meth, but one extra methyl group.
Yeah, one extra thing is like a big thing.
Because it makes it more lipid soluble, so it crosses the blood-brain barrier easily. But you being stoned and then taking Adderall is like you basically being meth whilst being on meth while you're stoned.
And it sounds amazing.
First of all,
meth is so dope.
Here's what you need to do.
I've never done meth. I don't. It's not a black drug. It's just not. I don't know any black meth heads. Maybe I don't know enough black people, but I don't know enough. We didn't have that in Chicago.
We need better representation around meth heads.
Where's the representation in the meth head community? Huh? Where are my Jamals?
If you want, here's a little bit of advice. If you want a fun weekend, okay?
Oh, here we go.
Hook up with a guy on Friday, steal some Adderall from his medicine cabinet, and then on a Saturday, take it, and then watch a YouTube video that says, I am the mother of James Woods' secret children, and now you have a mystery to solve, you know?
James Woods has a secret family?
According to this YouTube video I watched while I was on Adderall, while I was avoiding doing work, because you take an Adderall to do work, and then it helps you focus on one thing that is not the work.
Exactly.
And I have organized my iTunes library so many times.
Yeah.
You can't
like venture off and do other things once you take it, because then you'll just focus on those other things. Exactly. You got to go right to. That's why, I remember I took it one time to do some work, and I ended up just masturbating for a long time. I was just really focused.
And that's the Lee part of that Molly thing. It's the weed and that part.
Yeah.
So it's like you're sort of like happy and horny, and that's what we all want.
That's what Molly
and
is.
You're right. Are we figuring out the world right now?
Yeah, I think so. I've taken Adderall on a Tuesday for writing night.
Yeah.
And it fucked me. It did not help. Because I think instead what I did was I just arranged the dolls that I have in my office.
You have a lot of dolls. I thought you were doing magic. I thought you were... I literally thought he was doing witchcraft at one point. I was like, yo, who in the office is that doll?
The real peek behind the curtain. Me. What kind of dolls are these, Bowen?
They're little Kewpie dolls. I have this obsession with Kewpie dolls, and I wanted to get one tattooed here.
Oh, that's
cool. I wanted to get a Kewpie doll tattoo here, but then I put this out on Insta stories. I was like, I'm thinking about getting this tattoo. What do you guys think? And my inbox flooded with people saying, in hanky code days, if you had a Kewpie doll on your hanky or anywhere on your body, it meant that you were into underage.
Oh. What?
And why did we need a code for that?
I know. Who is that for? What? Who is that funny for?
What? Who is that funny
for?
And what club are you going to where you're like, you know who I am? Like, what? That's so nasty.
So now I gotta get rid of these dolls.
It seems like
or you pick up a few more interests.
Oh my god! No,
they let some kid in the under in the bar last night do the strip contest, and we were so uncomfortable.
Yeah. I would punch that
like,
child.
They were like, "You, yeah. he's not, he's under 21, so you can't tip him in shots." And we were like, "Then I don't want him in here at all."
What is this? Why is
it should be illegal?
This is resurgence in young people shit. That's not how you say that, but.
You sounded older than when you said funny cigarette.
Yeah. what's the deal with all these young people being young? I don't know why I'm talking like my uncle right now, bro.
Not the smoker.
No. I have a huge family, over 500 family members. I only know about 200 of them, but like.
Only 200?
What?
Yeah, we're from the South, Mississippi, so you know the story. Boats, slavery, shit like that.
I hadn't heard that.
We're just one of those families. We just have a huge family. So I have a lot of uncles.
How do you know that it's 500, though?
It's just Facebook, really. I'm the only one in my family who's ever done this. Like, who's ever been on TV, who's ever done movies and shit.
Oh, so then they come out of the woodwork. Yeah.
But the story is, it's just like, we're very family-oriented. So, like, I always knew we were big. Like, we had a huge family. But all the last names and, like, all the neighborhoods we take up just in Mississippi alone is crazy. I'm like, oh, yeah. So she's like, yeah, it might be 500 of us at least. I'm like, at least? That's 2 minutes. Some of these niggas don't count, dog. I'm going to be honest with you. Some of them hit me up like, hey, cuz. Like, nah.
500's a good number to pluck. I mean, if I'm talking, I'm saying this is like your aunt's smart to pull out 500 as a number. Not saying that she's making this up, but it's like, yeah, 500's like a solid, believable number for anybody.
If I research it, I'm an insane person. You know what I'm saying? Like, 500, we'll see. You know, I don't have the time.
That's your pilot, babe. Write the script.
No, 500.
Going out to look for all of your... You remember when Facebook first came out and you would just search your last name and friend all the people who had your last name?
I couldn't use Facebook.
Relatable?
Why?
I couldn't use Facebook when I first... Because I didn't finish college.
Oh,
and when Facebook
colleges.
First came out, it was like only college kids.
Simpler times. Yeah. Better times, one might say.
Okay.
Yeah.
All I was doing
only
was...
Only people who went in $100,000 in $100,000 in loan debt should be able to use Facebook.
Social media.
It was cleaner. It was easier. I snuck in. I had my ways. I still went to college. I just didn't finish. I was taking like two classes and selling weed to make my money back.
I think about this. This is such a dumb, stupid patrician thing to say, but I think about this all the time. I should have just dropped out. I did not use like my degree at all.
I mean, you just explained how Adderall is meth, and I feel like that.
Sure.
Yeah, you're already a scientist.
Yeah.
Honestly, bro,
you
already got it figured out. I mean, I.
Where did you go, and what were you studying that you dropped out?
I went to College of DuPage.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and I love psychology, so I wanted to major in psychology and minor in English because I was like writing, had creative writing classes. But then I was rapping at the time, and I just liked the hustle more than I liked sitting in a classroom, and I wasn't using it in the way that like...
Can you give us a little snippet of what you would have been like as a therapist?
Oh, as a therapist?
I'm okay.
I think people thought you were going to do rapper.
No. I don't give a shit about that. You can find it on YouTube. Go on SoundCloud if you want that shit.
SNL.
You came here for true inside once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, okay?
Okay.
And this is watching me do improv with Chris.
Okay.
Okay.
Come on in. Door's open.
Yeah, this is Dr. Rad. I'm going to be the intake person over here.
Okay. I'm sorry. He is so late. He is so late.
Sorry. I'm new. I'm excited.
And this is a sliding scale, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Oh, we're doing sliding scale now. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And so here's all my income.
Great.
How much do I have to pay for this? Because it's very expensive.
I'm going to go to the back. I'm going to crunch the numbers. You and Dr. Red talk, okay?
But what if you come back and it's more than I can pay? Well,
I wish I had more walls in this office.
I'm going to listen, and then I'm going to evaluate and assign a quantitative money value to how much this should cost based on what your problems are.
Yeah,
and how much Dr. Red can help you.
I like that.
So you're going to listen in on my session?
Yes. But it's full patient confidentiality. I don't
We don't tell nobody outside of our group chat.
There you go.
Oh,
Okay.
Okay, I'll be over there. Bye.
Hey, so what brings you in besides problems?
Just the problems. Was I all supposed right. to have something? I didn't know I was supposed to come. I thought I was just going to come and sort of talk like about how I can't do my dishes and
okay.
you were going to help.
Tell
with
me
that.
More about that.
Well, I just feel like the world is about to end, so what's the point?
Whew. I think you got it all figured out. But...
and scene, and run across scene. The stage.
Sweet bad ass.
And you see, this is why we should only do one thing.
Yeah.
I thought y'all were great.
Oh my God. There's nothing worse than giving improv notes. Ugh. Because it's like I've only had to like coach people a few times, a handful of times, but every time I'm just like, yeah, I don't know, you made that up on the spot and like it can only be so good.
Yeah. I mean, it's that, and also it's just repetition, like doing it more. Sometimes people make a decision just because they're new. And new people make that decision. And sometimes I want to just give notes like, hey, man, like, what do you think of that decision? Like, I think you should just do it until you stop being dumb on stage. You know? and being dumb wrong. Being dumb on stage is super fun.
It's great.
But, like, sometimes it's just like you're going to make these broad decisions and these weird decisions because all new people do the same shit. Right. Until you find yourself. So just keep fucking doing it.
You just need to fail enough times to know that.
Yeah, well,
I failed my whole life. You know what I'm saying?
I want to hear more about that. And I want to hear more about how you went from rapping to SNL. But I think, should we ask the question?
This is the question.
Oh, shit.
We're going to go way back. We're going to go way before College of DuPage. Well, maybe not way before. I don't actually know how old you are. So
we can't 75. Play 75.
Hand me a funny cigarette. I'll tell you all about it.
Back in the time of funny cigarettes, Chris, we ask all of our guests, what is the culture that made you say culture is for me? Did not go over this with you before the show, and I'm sorry.
It's all good.
This is like a piece of pop culture, basically, that like formed you maybe as a kid growing up or even later on, like ooh. Told you about something else that you could explore.
Something that
formed me.
Yeah, something that like you look at your creative output now or your personality or your life and you sort of go back and say, oh, right, Baywatch Nights is where it all began, you know?
Oh, man, I would think, I mean, hip hop is like a part of me. And I mean, Rakim, the 18th letter, he is the first real album, first explicit album I bought. And I don't know if enough people know who Rakim is. but look him up. He's one of the best of all time. And he had this group with Eric B. But he really praised writing and studying a lot. And I loved to read and study culture and figure out how to like have it. And I love to just write lyrics all the time. That's just kind of like what I did growing up when I wasn't running the streets trying to be down. I was like reading books and like just trying to write rhymes and just write the most clever shit. And I think that's what really like affected me the most. Doesn't gravity suck?
The fuck
I hate
that?
It when it just shows up. You know what I'm saying?
That's incredible. So how old were you when you got that album?
Man, I was 10 years. I was 11 years old when I got Rakim. And I was already like starting to try to write raps, and they were really, you know, they were kid like I was writing about Barney and shit. I hated Barney. I hated 11. Barney growing up. Like I watched it, but I hate watched it. That was like the first thing I hate watched.
Yeah, I get it.
Because he told me to clean up. I'm like, hey, my nigga, you don't live with me, you know. So I used to write battle raps to Barney, bro.
Wait, are you being serious? I'm being dead serious.
Like, I used to just write these raps, like, about, like, different cartoons and, like, characters I didn't like.
And they would rap back at you? Would write their raps back?
No, this is all in my... I was in my room.
Got it.
No one was rapping back.
No, I mean, were you writing from their perspective afterwards?
No, I didn't give them time. You know what I'm saying? I think in my mind, I was like, I'm going to write these raps. And when I see Barney on these streets, I don't know what street. He's going to hear my bars. Be like, I got bars for that ass, and he going to hear them. You know? I think my first actual album was Will Smith. Because it was the only album I could buy. I could get at the time because my parents were really religious, and they didn't like the rap shit at all. But Will Smith, they love Will Smith. So like, oh, you can get with Will Smith. Get jiggy with it. That was like the first rap song I like learned. And then, I'm not proud of that, but I love Will Smith, though. Will Smith is great.
It's a decent rap song.
It's not. I mean, if you're putting it up against stuff.
No, but like divorced from context, it's a good rap song.
Yeah, a lot of things are good divorced from context, Bowen. I think Will Smith is sort of another example of you should only do one thing. You know?
I don't know, man. Parents just don't understand, bro. He has some good ones, man.
Did they listen? Did your parents listen to everything? Or did they were they like kind of keeping an eye on stuff you were consuming, like on the TV, movies and stuff like that?
Me and my parents didn't see eye to eye at all growing up. Like, we got tight when I got older. You know?
No, I mean, did they have like strict control over everything you consume?
They were like very like, this is what it is. Like, but no, they didn't follow up because I snuck a bunch of shit in the house all the time. And I was listening, you know, I was finding my way to listen to shit. But if they had found it, they would throw it away. But they're not like checking my bag for shit. Like, it's, they ain't had the time. They both work, so they weren't like doing any of that shit.
All of that. But Joel also had very religious parents.
Yeah, my parents found time. They both worked.
They found time.
they would read every book, every comic book. They had every channel locked on the television, and they would have to manually unlock it for us. Because mostly because I would, like, they locked, it started because they locked, like, MTV, obviously, and stuff like that. But then my dad was really mad because they had to lock TNT because I was watching Charmed in the afternoon. And so they were really pissed off about that. I remember there was an era when Anaconda was being advertised in comic books, I was so mad because my dad would rip out the Anaconda advertisements out of the comic book because J-Lo was exposing too much skin. And so I had like, I was always, there's like a million comic books I'm just missing one page from because of J-Lo's tit. And that's upsetting. They wouldn't let me get the Backstreet Boys CD because they sat me down. I was 9 years old and they were like, that song, no matter who you are, what you've done, where you've been, as long as you love me, they're like, Joel, it does matter what a woman has done.
And they didn't like the Backstreet Boys philosophy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly. And I was like, I'm nine, you know.
They're covering too much ground. This Backstreet
Boys.
I was very lucky to have parents that didn't know how to work the TV as well as I did, or the computer, so they wouldn't even know how to search it. I could hide it from them easy. Also, I was really into that, like, figuring out everything.
Did you also think you were the first kid to learn how to hide your search engine history and stuff like that?
Oh, definitely. But my dad hyped me up all the time. Like, I would like unplug the computer and plug it back in. He's like, oh shit, you should be an engineer. You know? God damn, Marker, come in here, do it again. I'm like, all right, pops.
My dad was a real Luddite too, but my mom was like, she was so fucking smart on all that shit. Like, she took back, she got rid of all the remotes in our house because I learned to do the last channel thing. Like, you hear your parents coming and you press last. Everybody's saying
that.
You hit last and then it goes back to the clean channel.
Oh, I did that watching. So much.
So they took all the remotes and then they actually at one point made me sit far enough away from the TV because I used to keep one toe on the channel up or down. And so I would do the same thing and then they got wise to that. And so I had to, like, literally they had a little piece of tape on the floor and I had to sit behind it.
Oh my God.
And then my mom started noticing I started having to like do dummy like covering my tracks online because I would erase the Internet Explorer history. And then my mom would be like, where did the history go, Joel?
She would repopulate it.
So
manually.
I would have to sit there. And then she got to the point where she was like, how did you visit all these websites in only 10 minutes? And I was like, are you monk? Like, what is going on?
That is crazy.
It was nuts. At one point, they took away my door. This was when I was like 15, 16, they took away my door to my bedroom.
Ooh, that happened
and
to
then
my
I moved
friends.
Into my closet. And then they took the closet doors. And then I propped my bed up so high and put sheets in front of it. And then they gave it all back because they're like, this is ridiculous. This has escalated so far.
I got a question. Where do they keep the doors?
In our basement. In our basement. My dad would walk it down to the basement.
That's Freaky Friday plot and Harry Potter plot.
I I had only seen that happen with my friend, my one of my best friends. His name is Chris too, so we call him Tut. But like I was there when, because I was kicked out the house at the time, and I was living with him and his family. And I remember the night we came in too late. His mom was mad strict, and she was like, "Just for that, you don't get no damn door." And she took it off, but then like she didn't really know how to take the door off all the way, so I had to Google how to take a door off, and I'm like instructing her while apologizing to my friend at the same time. "I'm sorry, dog. Turn to the right, Mrs. Tut. I'm so sorry, my nigga."
That's great.
It was the wildest shit. I haven't thought about that in a long time.
When did you move out?
I got kicked out a bunch for just like all throughout high school. But I moved out. I was like gone like at 17. Then I came back again at like 21 because I was like, I'll try to rekindle some shit with my folks. Also, I was broke. And then
how those always sort of coincide.
I mean, it was just timing. Then I left again, and then the longest I lived with them outside of being like a kid was when I was coming back to actually when I started Second City. I was like, well, can I stay here and just take? I'll take classes and I'll just stay here. And we really did. My mom had lost her job. And on some bogus shit. So she was going through some things, and we found a great relationship there. Then it was like 23 when that happened, and so between like 23 and 26, like we got really tight. Me and my family. So yeah,
that's good. And are they still religious? Is that still
something? Yeah, but they're a little looser with it now. like my dad was an usher of a church when I was growing up. You know, I don't know if you know what the ushers are, but they're basically an R&B group that doesn't sing. And they just greet you at the hey.
And then they're the ones who pass the collection.
They have the flyers, yeah.
They pass the collection play, like, oh, I got it.
Oh,
I
yeah, yeah. Collection play.
Yeah, but now they're just like, you know, so like they still go to church and all that, but just not as they loosely go. They don't go every week.
What do you think changed for you when, like, what do you think was able to like rekindle that? Like, what?
Well, I think my mom's had just had more patience and see, because my parents came from the South and they only know how to get out of that situation by going through school and taking these certain steps. So that's all they saw. So growing up, like, it was hard to tell them, and I'm sure y'all know that too, but that's like it's hard to tell them or have them see what chasing a dream is. And that's all I've done is like want to be a rapper, want to be a comedian. I remember when I first wanted to like do comedy, I was like, I'm gonna do comedy. Like, my mom was like, God damn it, another fucking dream? Jesus Christ, how much do you sleep? You know, but then like she saw comedy working, and also didn't have me in the streets anymore. Because when I was rapping, I wanted to like build my rap stories. I'd be out in those streets all the time, getting into all type of shit that they also didn't agree with, you know. But with comedy, it was like, oh, you around a bunch of nerds all day. That's dope. And then they really saw like it working in a way. I started making money. Then they were like, oh fuck, you can. Oh, this is a thing, dope. And then now they're like huge fans. When she hears it, she's like, why you gotta keep telling people I was like that? I'm different now. But we just grew together, and I got more in control of my anger issues too. So that helped me have patience. So we both like,
I can't. Your mom's gonna listen to this?
Probably.
So she's gonna hear me say the phrase Josh Brolin's taint.
Yeah. Yeah, man. She's heard me say a lot of shit, bro. she'll be all right. She'll be like, oh, Lord.
Wow.
Nah, she would love this conversation.
But it's so cool that you're doing both, basically. And that your big movie break, at least, in Popstar, was that you were this rapper and that you were...
Man, that was like... I almost cried that day. Because we did real, like, concert scenes. We had, like, thousands of people in these arenas. And we were doing these concerts. And they, you know, of course, they were scripted. But it was still, like, you had people going crazy. And at one moment... we had filmed me and Andy performing, and then people were going nuts. And then they said, cut. And I was like, I know this is fake, but it feels amazing. And they were like, ah! Yo, it just felt so good, though.
Was that your first, like movie first everything?
Yeah, that was my first major movie role ever. And I thought it was going to be like Lil Rel's Get Out moment. Like, I was like, oh shit, I'm about to what? I remember when they called me, this is how much I didn't know about the industry. They called me that Saturday, the weekend it came out. They were like, yo, it only made a $1 million. I was like, holy shit, for real? Because I've never made $1 million of anything ever. So I'm like, yeah. They're like, nah, Chris, that is not good. And I was like, all right, then. And then we just saw the slow rollout. And it was like, all right, well, I guess I just keep hustling, you know? And so that resurgence that you had mentioned was like crazy.
Crazy.
Because I just woke up and I saw a pop star training. I'm like, this can't, nah. And
then, not my pop star. Yeah.
And then I saw like, oh shit, okay, that's what's up. That's what a cult classic means. It means like that over time. That shit takes a long
time.
Right. That was like 5 years ago, I think.
What was it? I still didn't get to, did anyone get to the bottom of why it was trending that day? Was it an anniversary thing?
It was, it was like this, the anniversary was like 3 weeks prior, but there was this one, this dude who just released a video. I think it was like part of the DVD package, but it was like it's a song that got cut from the movie, and it's a full performance, full like, and the song was like "Tell Your Parents Fuck Off," and it's so funny, it's so brilliantly written, like every song on that fucking soundtrack is. But it was such a funny thing. I didn't know why that particular performance got cut, because it was crazy to me, because it was so funny. So to dude just post this random guy, Josh Morgan, I think, because I saw his name 1,000 times. But this dude Josh posted like, yo, I'll never understand why this movie didn't do as well as it should have, and X, Y, and Z, and the Lonely Island have been like busy this year and last year, was like putting out different work. So I guess between just the Long Island being more present and that thing just being funny as hell, it started getting shared.
Yeah.
And then by noon that day, it was like trending.
But then there was this collective thing of like, oh yeah, like we saw that. Because I literally went with fucking Sudi.
Yeah.
Sudi, me, and Matt Rogers smoked a bowl.
You've heard of him, right?
You've heard of him.
Yeah. Okay.
Smoked a bowl and went to go see Popstar, and it was so goddamn funny. You were so funny in it.
Oh, thank you.
Chris was so funny in it.
That was such a fun show. So it was such a fun movie to do.
You know what I think part of it is, though? Is I think that, I think it's two things. I think A, like people are smarter about comedy. Like it's caught, like people's sort of consciousness of what comedy can be and is, and what they consider good is caught up with the movie. And I also think like there's this thing, like our generation of people who were in college when it came out, or younger when it came out, I think like for a while, I think we've just aged into people taking our taste seriously.
Sure.
You know?
Because
I think like people are like, oh, that's a movie for college kids, or a movie for high schoolers or whatever. And then those people become adults, and sometimes those movies hold up for them. And
I will also say,
now you're the tastemaker.
This is a huge part of it, of why it didn't do well and in the theaters, was because when that movie dropped, people viscerally hated Justin Bieber so fucking much.
Oh,
and they thought it was a thing about Justin Bieber. And he had just dropped like three fucking biographies. Like, how many times can you tell us about you? I have no feeling towards Justin at all, but it did have a lot to do with it, because everybody thought it was like that. And they're like, fuck that Justin Bieber movie. Like, it's not even about that.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, and now we're so removed from it, no one even like compares the shit.
Right, right.
And they're it was just a funny movie.
We talked about that in the other two room, I think. Because I think that was the worry for the other two as well, was that people were going to think it was just going to be a show about Justin Bieber. And we talked a little bit about like how that happened to Popstar too.
Yeah.
And I think like that is exactly correct. Because this is like pre-Christianity Justin Bieber too.
Yeah,
so like height of everyone hating
him. And that's crazy how successful Justin Bieber is and should be, but how he can ruin projects around him.
Insane.
That have nothing to do with him at all.
the only like thing you could connect to Justin Bieber was like Popstar : Never Stop Stopping. And people were like, oh, that's a Never Say Never reference. And they just freaked out. I do think Joel is probably onto something though, with like people aging up. And it's like that thing where fashion trends cycle every 30 years, when kids like in high school start to like wear the things that they wore in high school when they grow up, because now they have enough money to be in like the creative class. something like that. Anyway.
Okay. Less cogent than your meth is Adderall.
Sorry. Yeah, man.
Can't make everything edutainment.
I still think you a scientist, though.
Thanks, Chris. Okay, I think it's time.
Oh, my God. I feel like we have so much more to talk about.
We have so much more to talk about.
We have to.
We're going to do some I Don't Think So Honeys with Chris.
Okay. I'm ready for this.
There we go. So I Don't Think So Honeys are our segment. We would take 1 minute to rant on something in pop culture that's getting our growth, or it can just be anything that's going on in our lives. Tomorrow night at Palme d'Or on 6th at 8 p.m., we're doing a 40 comedian I Don't Think So Honey. Local comedians, Houston comedians, 40 people. So we hope to see you there. Thank you so much for coming.
Are we supposed to be looking at
We'll time you.
Yeah, I'm getting my timer out so Bowen can do it. Okay. Do you need to go first? I have two that I could probably do.
No, but. I could go first.
You got rant about something from pop culture? Okay.
It can be about anything.
You'll
it can really be about anything. You'll see.
Just to give you an example, I have done birds that have appeared in Blue Planet 2. Ariana Grande. Not by choice. I had to do it. And what are some of the other...
Cum that's in my asshole.
Cum that's in my asshole. famously not a part of pop culture, but a little bit my ass is culture.
Your ass is culture.
Yeah, so it's just like anything from, think TV, movies, music, dance, something that's more...
Can it be something that's just like in my everyday life?
Yeah. I think they've moved on to that, being that. I mean, if you ask
We've moved on.
A couple years ago, I don't know how I'd think about it, but yeah, but Bowen and I will do it, and I think you'll see sort
you'll
of what
get
it
the
is.
Dope.
Okay, Bowen Yang, your I Don't Think So Honey time starts now.
I Don't Think So Honey Alamo Draft House. Whoa! Yes! Why are you ducking down and rushing across the fucking theater? You're only calling attention to yourself. I would not have noticed you had you just walked like a normal fucking person with an aligned spine, motherfucker. And the queso is actually better in Austin than it is in Brooklyn, and that's a flaw in the franchising. Make it like Cheesecake Factory. Make it the same everywhere across the fucking world. I do love your pre-show, pre-trailer content. That's fun. That's great. And if anyone works at Alamo, I really love Alamo Draft House. But the service motif of scurrying across the fucking theater, you're only drawing more attention to yourself. Like I said, Alamo Draft House, just chill out. Just make it chill, okay? Because right now I'm walking in and I'm about to see Avengers, and you're making the whole experience even more jittery for me, and I don't like that. I don't think so many Alamo Draft House.
And that's 1 minute. Okay. Give it up for Brian.
Thank you.
I have to say, the one thing about Alamo's menu is I ordered a salad along with a lot of other shit, so please don't. It is not a good food to eat during a movie with no table really in front of you. And then I started eating it right as they were like, don't make any noise. And I was like, it's a salad.
It's a salad.
It was crazy.
But also, I think
you need to look at a salad when you're eating it, and you can't just like...
You do.
I had like leaves all over me.
A salad at Alamo Draft House, though, this is a rule of culture. Rule of culture number 95.
Thank you.
A salad at Alamo Draft House is a diner lobster. It is just something you're not meant to order.
If you go into a draft house, you've agreed walking through the door of no vegetables. I just feel like that's...
Bowen had the best order, I think.
I had a very stoner order.
You. Yeah. Go. Bowen got a giant milkshake, queso. And a pizza.
Damn, man.
And I watched you order all that, and I was like, Bowen is going to fart so much.
Yeah. Not once.
During Endgame, and not a peep.
Not a peep.
Not out
a
of your butthole.
I was going to ask you, when you shit, did you lift up? Because that feels like a lot of ammunition.
Actually haven't shot yet since
I don't think
Alamo.
You will.
When, I know.
I don't think you will ever again after that meal.
It's going to just be a big bezoar that's going to come out of my asshole later. Okay, this is Joel Kim Boosters. I Don't Think So, Honey. I think we have something?
I'm a little nervous about this one, but okay.
We'll see. This is Joel Kim Boosters. I don't think so, honey. His time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. The comedy on Game of Thrones, okay? Listen, Game of Thrones, you need to understand what we come to your show for, and that is dragons named Drogon, not comedy beats featuring breast milk, okay? Like, I don't need it. I do not understand why a character needs to button a scene by saying, I guess I will have that drink, like it's an episode of Seinfeld, you know? No, worse yet, it's not even that good. It's like fucking Frasier, which actually is a very good show. I take that back as well. It is like
seconds.
Big Bang Theory. Oh, I'm so sorry. It's Chuck Lorre. I love him as well. But this is the thing. They've gotten so brazen in these later seasons with these comedy beats. They're sneaking them in, and I get it. People are like, but we need levity. We need levity. Bitch, you got 4 episodes left to wrap this shit up. I do not have the time to watch a comedy beat. Okay? I want to see battles. I want to see people dying. I want to see tearful goodbyes. I want to see incest, honey. Okay? Give it to me. I don't think so, honey. Comedy on Game of Thrones.
And that's 1 minute, Joel Kim Booster. That's how
you
I felt
so
about...
You are so right.
Yes.
You are so right.
So right. That's how I felt about Avengers, too. In this... I was like...
Chris Hemsworth is given a primarily comedic role in this movie, and it is tough.
It's tough. Not everyone is Robert Downey Jr. Not everyone can deliver a punchline.
Yeah, the thing is like about halfway through the movie, I was like, maybe Chris Hemsworth is a comedian. And then about two-thirds of the way through, I was like, he's not a comedian. mileage may vary. It really does sort of like, you're like, I've had enough.
You can't do everything. You can't do sketch, improv, stand-up, and Marvel.
If you are that guy, you don't get to look like that and do all the things.
Right. What's that? Yeah. Donald Glover is the exception, and he's sort of in Spider-Man, but that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Okay. All right. Chris.
Okay.
This is Chris Red's I Don't Think So, Honey. Are you ready?
Yeah.
And his time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. What is the deal with all these fucking walking commercials outside in Austin, Texas? These people who are just like spam walking up to you. I don't like being walked up to and saying to do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Do you have time for the environment? Do you have time for classes, sir? You are off note. Your voice sucks.
What?
Focus up. My head hurts, nigga. Stop talking to me. I'm just trying to walk with my friends. Also, what is the deal with this Confederacy argument on Twitter? Why are people acting like they can't read history books?
30 seconds.
I know. That's a little dark. I should have started with that first and then went to the guys over there. What's the deal with me wanting to talk about really important things only so much time? That's what I usually do at parties so I can plan my exit. As soon as I walk in, I'm like, I'm going to get to that nacho dip. Now I'm out this bitch. You know what I'm saying? And what's the deal with motherfuckers talking so close in the morning? You know, I hate when people are talking to me on an airplane. They're like, yo, what you here for? Nigga, flight. That's what we're all here for.
5 seconds.
It's an A to B. It's a transaction, sir. Why you ask me dumbass questions? It's 7:30. I'm super high. And I can't sit down.
And that's 1 minute. He's super high and he can't sit down.
A legendary 3
yes.
topic. I don't think so. I think we've only... Luke did 2. I think he was the first to do 2.
Luke
did
2.
Yes.
Luke did 2. But you... fit in 3.
Well, I had to because that Full Confederacy thing too. Wasn't... I didn't have enough time to give y'all enough context.
Well, it might have been 4. First, it was people...
The walking commercials.
They're very annoying out there. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
I haven't run into one yet.
They're in these either green or orange shirts, and they walk up to you like, one guy was like, hey, you know my friend Dan? I'm like, no, nigga. And then he's like, he's right here on this clipboard. I'm like, what the fuck kind of... hook is that? Who does that work on?
Such a gross...
I really wanted us all to gaslight Chris and be like, no, what are you talking about, Chris? That's not a thing that happens in this city.
Oh, then I would walk us all outside like a science project where you have the fun teachers like, come on outside, y'all. And we would all circle around this person.
I haven't seen these people. I feel like you guys are all gaslighting me into thinking that they exist. No, we did that. We did talking about the Confederacy argument on Twitter.
Yeah.
I think it's just because Trump just dug into the Charlottesville stuff.
Yeah, he just kind of and then people were just... I went on a wormhole today, so that was my fault.
And there you go. And then close talker. So it was 3, but it was a beautiful, graceful 3.
Yeah, it really was. Like they were all full thoughts.
Full thoughts. One more time for Chris. Right,
I have
everybody.
A lot of complaints, y'all.
Wow. Chris, thanks so much for joining us.
So much fun.
I mean, you'll see him every week on SNL. 3 more shows, y'all, this season. Dude. And thank you so much for coming to our show, our recording. Please come tomorrow night at 8 p.m. at Palm Door on 6. Thank you. And give it up one more time for Joel Kim Booster, my guest.
Joel Kim Booster! Give it up for Bo and Yang, y'all.
Oh my God. Stop. Good night.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.